You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is Gilbert Gottfried, and this is Gilbert. Will this be an obsessious?
It's whatever you like it to be, Maestro.
Okay.
We'll call it Colossal Obsessions, because it's,
okay.
Yeah, it's
this
short.
Okay, this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions with my co-host, Frank Santopadre. And we have someone that we're both familiar with, Mike McFadden.
Or...
Not all that familiar with my last name.
Let's retake that.
Mike McFoydle. Michael Michael Floydle Maydle. Michael Fleidenheimer.
It's Mike McPadden.
Mike McPaddy.
With a no.
Yeah. Michael Paddywaddy. Michael.
Oh, my God. Every day it seems like I'm doing this show from the home. It gets closer and closer to that experience. Did you eat all your pudding?
Yeah.
They brought you pudding. You didn't finish it.
Or the homeless.
Yeah. Mike McBeardo. I love that he got the McBeardo part, but Mike McBeardo McPadden, P-A-D-D-E-N.
The illustrated man himself.
The illustrated man. Yes, he is. And he is also our social media director and our Facebook, what would you call yourself? Facebook guru?
You say guru, and I like that title.
Facebook
I got the long beard.
Guru. Facebook yeah. sensei. Yeah.
Yes.
And what happened? You were listening to an episode. Gilbert was rambling on about taglines. And you got inspired?
Out of nowhere, yeah. Gilbert, and this was long ago and many times since, brought up The Mutilator,
yes.
A Buddy Cooper film.
A who film?
Yes.
Buddy Cooper.
Oh, Buddy Cooper. His father died in my basement.
The tagline was, by knife, by axe, by pick, by bye.
So you got inspired by Gilbert, and it wasn't just The Mutilator. He remembers taglines from movies.
Terror Train.
What was the Terror Train one you remember?
Oh, Terror Train was... The boys and girls from Sigma Phi, some will live and some will die.
That's right. Does he have that one right?
Yes. No. That was another one, yeah, that blew my mind, yes.
How do these stay with you over the years?
I don't know. I always loved taglines. Harry Cole is the best in the business. Three people are dead because of him.
Oh, The Conversation.
Yeah.
And, what was the... When this one already says the name and the title, but it when you see the swimmer, will you see yourself?
Nice.
The Swimmer.
The
yes.
Swimmer. The yes. Swimmer.
And,
a movie that comes up a lot on this show.
And on every street in every city in the country, there's a nobody who dreams of being a somebody.
Ooh.
Now what is that?
What is that? Facing the crowd or something or?
Taxi driver.
Oh, Taxi Driver.
Oh!
Wow. How do you retain these damn things? You know, we have Mike's list. I'm going to put together my own list for a future episode of favorite taglines, but we'll do that down the line. But for now, we're going to do the ones that Mike compiled. And you have little stories about these, little histories.
I do. And also, this is, if I may get a plug-in.
Please do.
These are insane horror movie taglines of the 70s and 80s, many of which... are connected to movies in my book, Heavy Metal Movies.
You don't say. You are the author of Heavy Metal Movies.
Yes.
Terrific book.
Which also features a long rave review of Highway to Hell with Gilbert Gottfried as Hitler.
Oh, jeez.
Now you're just sucking up.
Yeah.
And where can people get this book, pray tell?
You can get the book wherever books are shoplifted, but also Amazon and Heavy Metal. If you go to heavymetalmovies.com, you get a patch and a an artisanal Brooklyn crafted barf bag.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I'll have to go there.
Did you send a copy to Gilbert? Because you know he won't spring for one.
Yes, I'm holding up the barf bag.
He's holding it up.
Yeah.
Heavy metal movies. It's a terrific read. And well researched.
I've given Gilbert several barf bags and reasons to barf, but no, I think I gave you a couple of copies of the
book. Well, take us through a couple of these. I mean, the first one is a tagline that everybody knows and is probably along with Jaws, or I guess it was Jaws 2. Which was the one?
Just when you thought it was safe to go back.
That's Jaws 2, right.
Jaws 2. Yeah.
What was the Jaws tagline? Do we remember that one? Jeez, did you even have one? But this one is very famous. This was sort of nicknamed Jaws in Space. And this is from Alien in 1979. And that was In Space, No One Can Hear You Scream. And is that's arguably the most famous movie poster.
I would say so.
Tagline.
Yeah. And it was actually designed by a guy named Philip Gibbs, who also designed the Rosemary's Baby poster.
That's cool.
That weird space egg. And the line was written by his wife. Barbara Gibbs.
I love this. The line came from copywriter Barbara Gibbs, who was married to Philip Gibbs.
Who was also part of a New York ad agency called Frankfurt Gibbs Ballkind, which is where I met my wife.
Wow. Jeez. Furtherosa chiming in.
And he did the Superman poster, the iconic with the shirt opening.
Wow.
Boy.
Very cool. 6 degrees of Furtherosa.
Furtherosa. Oh, my God, Frank, you beat me to it.
What else you got on here?
I'll run some of these by Gilbert and we'll see if he can remember.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. If this movie doesn't make your skin crawl, it's on too tight.
Ooh, that sounds so familiar.
I'll give him a hint. 1974, directed by the director of Porky's, Bob Clark, the late Bob Clark, who died tragically, I might add.
Ooh.
Yes. I also made a Christmas story.
And one of my favorite Sherlock Holmes picture called Murder by Decree.
Terrific movie,
people should see, with James Mason.
Oh, yeah.
This movie, I think you stumped him.
Yeah.
I think so. That would be Black Christmas.
You know, 1974. Our listeners are screaming at their devices.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Elvis Presley was reportedly a huge fan of Black Christmas.
Okay, now I have always heard this. And then in doing research, I know, Frank, you often say, like, the IMDb is, like, full of shit.
Well, I don't know. It's not entirely trustworthy.
No, I shouldn't say that. Okay, I take that back. Somebody not Frank has said this.
Yes.
But, so I always heard Elvis was a fan, and it said on IMDb that he watched it every Christmas. Now, the movie came out in 74. He was dead before Christmas 1977. Right. Yeah.
every Christmas being both of them. Yeah. Well, you know what? That's the kind of thing that we throw out to our fans to come up with. So if you guys know anything about Elvis loving Black Christmas.
I've heard he's a Jew.
Elvis is a Jew?
Yeah.
And what do you base that on?
I've heard rumors. And I know he used to wear a Star of David and a cross.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
And he used to say, I don't want to be locked out of heaven on a technicality.
Wow. That's a great
line.
He
was high on dope when he said that. Yeah.
And peanut butter and Dexedrine sandwiches.
Exactly.
What's the next one?
Okay. Now, this one, I know Gilbert knows because this is truly the one that I flipped out.
Okay.
He is a depraved, sadistic rapist. A homicidal killer, and he makes house calls.
Gil?
This wasn't Dr. Giggles. Dr. Medical Deviant. Dr. Something Medical Dr. Butcher.
Right.
Dr. Butcher Medical Deviant.
Yes.
This was one of those movies, a real guinea production.
Oh,
I take offense.
That like the name on it was something like John Martin.
We looked it up. It was some Paisano director
with 5,000 syllables.
All of them O's.
Yes. Yeah, I like that movie.
So I actually queued up a little bit of the trailer.
Go ahead.
And I'll hit play. Let's see if you can guess. This is a very famous actor who did a lot of horror and exploitation trailer voiceovers.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Lines of medicine for his own maniacal means.
That's all I'm breaking glass.
Dr. Butcher, MD, medical deviant.
You will die only to live again in a younger body. Then you can tell me if the operation was a success.
Okay, so
do you know who that narrator of that trailer was,
that
Gil?
That sounds so familiar.
That was Adolf Caesar.
Oh, Adolf
Caesar. Oh, my God. He did a bunch of those
Soldier Story.
He did Blackula, Dawn of the Dead, Scream Blackula, Scream.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, the best. Yeah.
All right. What's the next one?
Next one we got. Oh, there we go. When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
Gil?
Yeah. That was Dawn of the Dead.
That is correct. That was Dawn of the Dead.
Very good. That reminds me of a Drew Friedman strip, but I'll tell people about it on Facebook.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And now back to the show. Penn Jillette's number one favorite film of all time?
Yes, and the 2004 remake is his number 12 favorite film of all time.
That is good trivia. Wow.
Okay, that was a fun movie because it kept the horror in it, but it was also very funny some parts.
And a shout out to former podcast guest Tom Savini.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, his masterpiece.
Wonderful work on that one. Okay, here's another great one for you, Gil.
Another one. And I'll give you a clue with one of my tattoos. Today, the pond. Tomorrow, the world.
Piranha?
Frogs.
Frogs!
Oh, with Ray Milland.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yes, with Ray Milland, and the hero was, like, the groovy, ecological hippie hero was Marjo Gortner.
Marjo Gortner. Now, there's a guy who would be a guest.
He was in He was also in Food of the Gods.
He was, yes, correct. Which is also an American International Pictures film, part of the Revenge of Nature cycle of the 70s that also included Night of the Lepus.
Oh, that's all
yes.
The rabbits.
Yes.
The giant rabbits.
With Stuart Whitman.
And Squirm, with the worms coming out of the shower
head.
Sure. Oh, yes.
Sure, sure, sure.
And Piranha, directed by guest Joe Dante.
And Joe Dante. That's right. That's right.
And The Swarm. Don't forget, lest we ever forget The Swarm, I would put in there too. So.
We've had so many guests on this show already.
Was Henry Fonda in The Swarm?
He sure was.
Yes.
He's the scientist who injects himself with the anti-bee, whatever the hell it is, the anti-bee serum.
Humanity, he sacrificed himself.
I love when these actors are at that, I don't give a fuck anymore.
He was in another movie around that time called City on Fire. It was just like they just ran out of disasters. It was just a fire.
You know, we've had so many guests on the show. I look at these lists, and there's Piranha, Joe Dante, The Swarm, right. Lee Grant, Savini. You've got somebody else coming up that was on the show. We've had so many people on this show.
Oh, it's amazing.
They're just starting to cross-reference. Okay, here's one I know, even. Go ahead.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Gil?
The Fly.
Correct.
Very good. Very, very good. Pretty good remake.
A terrific movie, I think.
Yeah, Cronenberg's a great talent.
Yeah, I mean, I think two separate films. I mean, it doesn't... Vincent Price cameo would have been nice and would have ruined it, so I don't know what we could have
done. Yeah. I like Cronenberg. I like Naked Lunch. I like The Dead Zone.
Videodrome.
Videodrome. Especially, I like so many of his
pictures. Oh, with Deborah Harry.
Yes.
Yeah.
And James Woods.
Yes.
But The Fly 2 sucked to high
heaven. Horrible, with Eric Stoltz, yes.
Oh, that sucked.
Yes.
I love that you saw The Fly and The Fly 2. Okay, here's another one.
This is what I know Gilbert knows. The night he came home.
Oh, Halloween.
That's right.
Very good. Very good.
And Halloween 2 was more of the night he came
home. Yeah.
Yes.
That was the tagline?
Yeah. They obviously really didn't give a fuck at that point.
They had 3 years.
It seems like at the last second before they had a chance to do it, they said, oh, we need a tagline. I don't know. The more of the night he came, okay?
The night he came home and then some.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another great one.
Okay.
This movie I remember.
They're not human, but they hunt human women. Not for killing, for mating.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've seen this picture, I'm proud to say.
Not Invaders from Mars.
It's a Corman. It's a Corman job. Humanoids from the Deep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
A film that Joe Dante passed on directing.
I was thinking of that movie because I remember I saw it in a theater. I saw it in Times Square. And that's the one where the humanoids are fucking the girl victims. They all look like big rubber frog people.
Yeah, that's
They grabbing women on the beach and fucking them.
And the first scene has a ventriloquist dummy in it, inexplicably.
Yeah.
I just found it, and they were like, oh, let's put this in the movie, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, I found this in my closet.
You know, that's a big theme in the first off, it's like a regular 50s horror rubber monster movie.
Yes,
but then there's all this, like, rape and nudity and insanity. And that was a thing for a while in the early 80s, because there was Galaxy of Terror with Aaron Moran.
Oh, yes.
Eddie Albert
and it was like, once again, I don't know, radiation affected them or something. But instead of killing women, they were fucking them on.
Seems like a better idea to me. Okay.
In Seminoid, which is another, as Gilbert would say, Guinea production.
And Extra. All right, don't you start now. Okay.
Back it off. Okay, let's skip to the next one. Okay.
Yeah, let's jump around in the interest of time.
Let's
jump. Pick your favorites.
I will. Okay. This woman has cut, chopped, broken, and burned 5 men beyond recognition, but no jury in America would convict her.
Ooh. I don't think I have that one.
I spit on your grave.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes, that was one of those revenge ones.
The rape and revenge. Let's not forget the first part.
And tell him what was notable about the star of that picture.
Camille Keaton. Does the last name ring a bell? She was the granddaughter
of
Buster Keaton. Yes.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
That's insane trivia.
Yeah.
The star of I spit on your grave.
Yes.
Was Buster Keaton's granddaughter.
So she continued the great art of cinema.
Is there a Sherlock Jr. homage somewhere?
We'll go back and examine now with that in mind.
And when they're raping her, she's wearing the Buster Keaton hat.
Oh, cut that out.
And she's very, it's very chilling because she doesn't have any expression. It's like, oh, there's the stone.
Very good.
And that was
all right. What else?
That was a film, if you recall, Gilbert, that played in Times Square, like into the early 90s almost. It was
in
re-release.
Yes.
I remember the poster.
And at one point, Siskel and Ebert were so outraged by it that they devoted an entire half hour episode to what's going on?
I love
the greatest commercial. I was like 13 or something at the time. I was like, thanks for the half hour commercial, guys. Okay. There's only one thing wrong with the Davis baby.
Oh, it's alive.
You got it. Okay.
Yeah. Which I watched over Halloween. Larry Cohen, somebody we got to reach out
to. Yes, he's a terrific guest. I've seen him talk.
We've talked about it. We'll get him. Yeah. We'll get him soon.
That's got
a lot of A-list talent. Bernard Herrmann.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And Rick Baker.
Making the little monster baby with the fangs, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. To avoid fainting, just keep repeating. It's only a movie.
Oh, God. Not Mondo Cani. It came around that time.
1972, if that helps you.
Oh, fuck. Oh, I remember this tagline.
It's not Bed Knobs and Broomsticks.
Wes Craven's first film as a director.
Wow.
Based on Bergman's, I love this, Bergman. First on Bergman's The Virgin Spring.
Yeah. Last House on the Left.
That's right, yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
Now, I've always said, Frank, I don't know if that can ever be proven, because anybody who saw Last House on the Left never saw the Bergman movie and vice versa.
they'd make a great double bill.
Yeah. Well, we all just kind of take that on faith. So.
Well, there's a lot of that. There's like the talk about how Star Wars was loosely based on Kurosawa.
The Hidden Fortress, yeah.
Or Hidden Fortress, yeah.
Okay. I warned you not to go out tonight.
Ooh.
I'll give you a hint, Gil.
Yes.
Yes, Senator, we had a lot of buffers.
Oh, my God. Oh, wait a minute. Would this be Maniac?
Maniac, yes.
Yes. With Joe Spinell.
The late, great Joe Spinell. Yeah.
Actually protested by, do you remember the Women Against Pornography? They were a group that would hang out around Times Square and protest.
Oh, yes, yes.
Sure.
And then, like, the studio, the producers would, like, call them and say, can you believe this movie Maniac is playing? And they would go and set up picket lines. I was, you know, 12 years old and I snuck it.
Cleverly done.
So, okay, The Mutilator. Well, just going to play a little bit of the Mutilator theme song, because
of course,
interesting points about this film. It's in the advertising. It says repeatedly written, produced and directed by Buddy Cooper. Like this would be like a selling point. This is Martin Scorsese's
The Mutilator. They're saying Billy Wilder.
Yeah. Oh, it's another Buddy Cooper picture.
He never made a movie before and he hasn't made one since. And it originally had the completely brain damaged dead title of Fall Break.
Oh, geez.
So here is.
Sounds like a teen sex comedy.
Yeah, but Fall Break also isn't a real thing. But here, let me play you the Fall Break theme song that appears in the movie.
Empty cottage sitting on the shore. Tourists all left about a month before. And we're going to have a good time.
So that's the theme to The Mutilator.
Yeah. It gets you in a really scary mood. Yeah.
I think that's the worst fake 50s music since The Lord of Godbush. That's why I want Gilbert
to that song. Hey, what do you say? Looks like it's gonna be a very fine day. My girl is with me today. Looks like some real fine things are coming my way. Hey, hey, what do you say? Looks like it's gonna be a very fine day. Just hanging out with nothing to do. Lucky, lucky me that I bumped into you. Looking so good and looking so fine. I wonder, 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 should I make you mine? Bow, 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 bow. Okay.
Well, you know, you know what? I think the Lords of Flatbush would have benefited from a couple of axe murders. You know, Mikey, why don't you do one more, and then we'll stop here, and we'll do another one.
Okay, terrific.
In the interest of time, we'll do two minis out of this, because it's such a fun idea. Terrific. And you've got so much here, we don't want to cut you short.
Okay, let's jump ahead to Sometimes Dead is Better.
Oh, that was the Pet Sematary.
Right. Nice.
Do you remember who said the line in the movie?
Fred Gwynn.
That's right.
Herman Munster himself.
That's right. Do you remember around the same time he was also in Fatal Attraction? I think he was a judge or a lawyer.
Oh no, he was in my
Cousin Vinny.
Cousin Vinny.
He was a judge in that, yeah. But and that was when you'd be in the theater, you just hear everybody in the theater go, "That's Herman Munster. Hey, that's
yes."
Poor guy was a Renaissance man. He was an artist. He did Shakespeare. I mean, he couldn't escape the shadow of Herman Munster.
And he did that line in New England way.
Yeah. Of,
sometimes death is better.
That's right. Tom remembers.
There's a rat in the department.
Why don't we stop it here and we'll do a second one of these, Mike, because it's so much fun and Gilbert's having a blast, and plus it's an invitation for him to sing.
Terrific.
And maybe when you come back, I'll learn your name.
Hey, there's something to look forward to in the second episode.
I've spoken to him like 500 times. You'd think I would have known his name. But
it took you 17 episodes to get mine, so he's gonna have to wait his turn.
I was going to say, you speak to Frank Santobabula, you know, 3 times a week.
I was out at a show at was downtown at a place called City Winery. I was seeing a Tina Fey thing, and someone recognized my voice from the podcast, and he said, "Are you Frank Santopadre?" Which he thinks is my name. So we'll have this man back very, very soon. So what do you think?
I'm Gilbert Gottfried, and this has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions with my co-host Frank Santopadre, once again recording at Nutmeg with our engineer Frank Verderosa. And let me see if I've got his name right now. Mike McPadden.
You got it!
Wow. Oh, God!
I beat
you. You know what?
Wow.
You know what? Don't come back on this show, because I want to end on a victory.
Mike, thanks. We'll do it again
soon.
Obsession.